Are you a cake maker running a business or a business owner making cakes? Hi, I'm Sammy.
Hi, I'm Bronya, and welcome to the Business of Cake Making. Hello, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 2 of the Business of Cake Making. Today, we are speaking to Nastasia from the Indulgent Sugar Plum and from Channel 4's Extreme Cake Makers. We have an amazing interview with her, but it lasted over an hour and a half. And because we didn't want to miss any out, because it's all really interesting, we thought we would split it into two because it's slightly too long for one episode. So this is part one, where she will be speaking about her journey on how she became the cake maker she is today and what happened when she got the call from Channel 4. Part two, which we will release in a couple of days, is more about her design, her aesthetic and her inspiration. Also in part two, she'll be speaking about how she is finding being a black baker in the cake world. So let's jump straight into part one. Over to Sammy and Nastasia.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Nastasia, from The Indulgent Sugar Plum. We're so excited to speak to you. Can we start by asking you to go back to the start to find out why and when you started baking? Where's your passion come from?
Okay, so firstly, thank you for having me on the show. Thank you. I'm very grateful. So where did I start baking from? To be quite honest, baking and I would say the love of cake has always been a part of my family. So since a child, growing up, we've always had cake in the house. And I think you can kind of make it a cultural thing because I was born in Zimbabwe. So my family are born in Zimbabwe and we have a big thing about cake and tea. So like we literally in the afternoon, after lunch, let's just say 3 o'clock, like our kind of snack or tea time is to actually have cake and tea. And if visitors come around, it's like cake and tea. So cake has always been a huge part of my family. My family love cake. My grandfather, my mom's dad loves cake. That's one of his vices. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't drink. He eats cake. And so the love So the love of cake in my family has always been there. And growing up, I came to the UK when I was a year and a half. And growing up, it's always been kind of like a Sunday family ritual. On Saturday, I would go to the shops with my grandma. She'd always buy loads of cakes. And Sunday after church, after we'd come back from church, we'd just like have a spread of tea before we had like dinner. Sunday roast, after cake. So we'd have always cake and tea. Where I started baking, it really came from my mum, and it's something I shared with my mother. My mum's a trained food scientist. So my mum always had an interest in food. But I mean, for me, it was never like the cooking. It was always the baking. And there was this one cake we really, really loved from Marks and Spencer's. And they stopped doing it. And I was like, I want to recreate this cake because I miss this cake. And that's how I started learning how to bake, and through my mum, really, and through the passion of wanting to recreate this cake. And we always had a mix.
What was the Marks and Spencer's cake?
The Marks and Spencer's cake that I love, they have a version of it now, but it's not the version of the 90s. So it was the coconut jam. It was a coconut jam cake.
Yummy.
So they had two versions of it. They had a coconut one with just cream without the jam. And then they had the coconut with the cream and with the jam. And we all love this cake. Aww. And they no longer do it. They do a version of it, but it's not like the 90s. The version.
Yeah.
It's probably healthier and better for you now. It's probably got less additives and things. So
I don't know, but it doesn't taste like the cake that I used to eat. And there's another cake that they had that we really loved. They do have it, but once again, it doesn't taste the same. It's called the country cake, and they had this, it's just called the country cake, and it was a fruit cake. That's the only fruit cake that I like. Believe it or not, I don't like any other fruit cake apart from if it's like a Jamaican rum cake. But the Marks and Spencer's country cake, it was amazing. Does it taste the same? No, it doesn't. But those are the cakes that I loved and I wanted to recreate. So out of that love of wanting to recreate these cakes also began a love, a shared love that me and my mum, it was the one thing. So one thing me and my mother actually have in common. I mean, it's very, very odd, but like, I mean, I'm quite rebel. I've always been like this rebel child to my mum, but it's the one thing that we always agreed with. And so I just started baking from home. Started to become a kind of, let's say, bring in the business aspect of it. I was never like had thoughts about being a baker. If I'm being really honest, I thought bakers were really lame. I didn't see it as a job. I was just like, who wants to be a baker? Nobody wants to be a baker. Like something you kind of do in your spare time, but it's not like a legit job. So where that came in to kind of have a business aspect is I started a job at Diesel after I finished, it was like a year after I finished uni. And in that time, I studied fashion. So in that time, I went through a mode of depression of not really getting the job I wanted to after I'd finished the course. And baking became something where it just took my mind off of a lot of things. And it was something I shared with my mom, and it's something I really enjoyed doing because I was spending time with my mom. We were having fun. She was teaching me a new skill. And I love science as well. So it was like the way she taught me how to bake was all scientific. So it kept me very, very much entranced. So when I started this job at Diesel, I remember like the first couple of days, like everybody would come to, I was the office assistant, and the girl who had just left, she'd been there for like about 6 years and everybody loved her. Oh, and wow. When I met this lady, her name was Lillian. And even when I met her, because she used to come back to the office regularly, I loved Lillian. And I remember somebody saying to me in the first couple of days, oh, you know, everybody loved like Lillian, and everybody, oh. I don't think you're never going to, no, I'm not sure if you're going to be as good as Lillian, but everybody loved Lillian. Gosh. And I remember this. Yeah, and then I was just like, oh my gosh, like who is this Lillian? Like, why she made my job so much harder? And then that person said to me, you know, in this office, you just need a thing about you. You just need that one thing. And like, I remember like my work and my colleague at the time, who was Layla, she said, yeah, Nastasia, you just need a thing about you. And everybody would be cool. And I was just like, a thing? And they were just like, yeah, what's your thing? And I was like, I don't have a thing. I'm just like Nastasia, right? So anyway, I remember like Mondays used to be the hardest day to go into work because it was like start of the week. And I was just like, it's that day of the week that everybody dreads to kind of like, oh my gosh, it's the day after the weekend and I have to get up into the office. But to ease my Monday, because for a Sunday, my family baked, I would bring in a slice of cake because I'd just be like, you know what? It's Monday, but I've got my slice of cake. I'm going to have my coffee. Everything's going to be good. You know, it's not going to be as bad. It's going to take the edge off the Monday, right? So it's like my morning treat. So I brought in this cake on a Monday and I shared it with my colleague. And she was like, oh my gosh, Nastasia, this is amazing. I looked at her and I thought, this is like, Layla, this is like basic cake. Like, come on, like, I'm sure you've had good cake before. She's like, no, I tasted so many cakes, but this is amazing. Then she shared it with one of her other friends who worked in IT, who then shared it with her manager, who then shared it. Like, this little piece went around, right? Wow. And so everybody came back to the desk and was like, Nastasia, your cake is amazing. Do you have any more? And I was like, well, no, I don't, but I'm glad that you all enjoyed it. And then it was like from there, Layla said to me, like, yeah, Nastasia, the cake is amazing. Like, and I was like, well, you know, by the time I go home today, there's not going to be cake for tomorrow anyway. So like, we'll just make it. And then it was just like, yeah, so I bake on a weekend. So it would be like Sunday and I'll bring in some more. So the next week I brought in a little bit more, and then more people tasted this cake. And I kid you not, like by the end of like, that day I had people asking me when the next cake drop was going to be. So after a while, it then became this thing that I did, which was called Cake Monday in the office. This Excellent. At this point, like this was like a month after bringing that small slice. Uh-huh. I was bringing in a whole cake for the office, and it would be an email that went out on Monday morning saying there's cake at reception, come and get it at 11 o'clock. And hordes of people coming to get it, and it was like first come, first serve. And that became my thing. And then me doing Cake Mondays in the office, what ended up happening is One of them, I think the ad manager, who was there at the time, he then just came down and said, well, Natasha, I really like these cakes. Can you do some cupcakes for the radio station? And Diesel had a radio station at that point. And I was like, right. Yeah, okay, sure. And at that point, he was like, how much are they? And I was like, how much? Like, I was like, how many do you want? And he was like, let's just do 12. And I was like, okay, well, £12. And he looked at me and was like, what, just £12? And I was like, yeah, I mean, only cupcakes. I mean, it's not like I'm not going out to do the world, am I? So anyway, I did him the cupcakes. He paid me the £12, I think. And I think he gave me extra on top because he probably thought I was very bizarre to charge like £12 for like a single, like for 12 cupcakes. And then he took it to the radio station and he started making quite regular orders for the radio station. So what happened was one girl who came into, like, she worked for the radio station, she came into the office and she was like, oh my God. And she was like, we were just talking and she was like, what's your name? And I was like, oh, I'm Nastasha. And she was like, oh, you're the girl who does our cupcakes. They're amazing. She was like, do you have a business manager? You're going to be amazing. You're going to be so big. And I looked at her and I was like, well, no, I don't really see it as a business. Like, I felt really attacked, actually, and I said to her, like, this is just a bit too much for me. I want right. to continue my journey into fashion. And she was like, well, you know, I've got this business manager. I think you should really meet him. I think you should really, really try this out sometime. And I was like, okay. And then I spoke to a friend and I said to her, like this girl from the radio station, she was like talking about making this cake thing into a business. And my friend was like, yeah, why not? I mean, you're getting extra money. And I was just like, yeah, but I it's not something I really want to do. Like, once again, I said to her, like, cakes are lame. They all look the same. And yeah, there's no, like there's nothing really to do with cake. They're not creative. People only do novelty cakes. I've never seen anything getting any other kind of cake. And she was like, oh, well, just go meet the business manager. So anyway, I don't know how I even came to decide to go and meet this business manager. And it literally started from there. I met this guy called Jeff. Jeff told me I was amazing. Jeff was like, I'm going to connect you to the world because you're going to be so big. And I was, once again, I looked at him and I was just like, Jeff, these are just cakes. And he was like, look, I've never seen cakes like this. And I mean, if you see the cakes I was doing at that particular time, this was like 2012.
Yeah.
Right. No. Yeah. And it was just kind of, when even I look at them, well, at that time they looked groundbreaking, and I still have similar designs for cupcakes to this day because they still look amazing. And it just literally started from there. And then Jeff got me together in a business to make me see it like a business. But yeah. I'll be honest, even when Jeff was trying to get me together to take myself seriously and see how far I could go, this was 2012, and this was like 2011 and going into 2012, I really still didn't want to, it wasn't something I really was putting effort into, but yeah. Like,
so it wasn't like a burning passion. You didn't have this burning passion to suddenly become a baker then. It was just still for you, like your side hustle almost.
It was still a side hustle. I was just earning a bit, bits and pieces, wasn't really taking it that serious, but it was no skin off my back because I love baking. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, someone's just ordered another cake. I want to go to a club because that's what I want to do. I'd be like, yeah, I can still go to the club and make some cakes. That's really cool. I think it was really when I then kind of left Diesel in 2012 because they were like, you know, there's no more growth for you here, really. And,
okay.
You know, and it was, I had a very frank conversation with my manager at the time, who was a lady called Zoe Walters. And I really kind of, credit her for actually pushing, making me take the leap and making me trust myself to kind of do the baking, because by this time I was supplying everybody in the office's birthday cake, I was supplying their friends' birthdays as well, and I was doing stuff, internal events for Diesel, and you know, you had like people consistently ordering from me like week on week. I had like the stationery supply, the people who supplied us with stationery, they also was ordering cake from me. I had a conversation with Zoe and I was just like, she was like to me, what, Natasha, look, here's the thing, I don't want to lie to you to say that tomorrow or next year you're going to get the job in Italy and you're going to go to the design studios. But I want to be honest with you. You have such a great passion and you've got such, you've got, like, you're so talented in baking. Look at the stuff that you're baking. Like, everybody in the office orders from you. Why don't you want to do it as a business? And I was just like, because it's too, I don't know, it's unnatural for me. I was like, I don't see how I can grow and make this more creative. I just want to do fashion. I spent my whole life studying to be a fashion designer, and that's what I want to do. And she was like, what's the worst thing that can happen? And I was like, it doesn't work out. And she was like, and if it doesn't work out, there's always going to be a space for you here at Diesel on my heart. What's the worst? Just try. Like try. And she said, you know, she was very encouraging, and she made me see a vision that I didn't really have for myself. And I then opted to, because she was like, do you want to stay here and kind of figure things out, like with the baking? And I was like, you know what, like, I want to move on to somewhere else. Like, if I can get somewhere with less hours, and, well, my dream was to find a job with less hours and more money, of which I did end up finding a little bit less hours. And so I ended up leaving Diesel, which was very sad. My mum was like, why did you leave? You could have just, like, you know, finished your career there. And I was like, no, it was time for me to leave. I wanted to leave. So I left Diesel, and then I went on to another company. I'm always kind of like, do I even mention the company I went to? But anyway, to another company. It was, I went on to Paper Chase, and I didn't work for, I got fired from Paper Chase before the end of the year, because I kid you not, it was like the worst feeling. If anybody's ever been fired from a job, it's the worst feeling in the world, and you feel like a failure.
I've been fired for a job. I was fired for a job just for having a hangover.
So the story with Paper Chase literally goes is, like, I was obviously, if it was in this time, I could look at it. There was a lot of accusations thrown in my corner. And I knew it was more from me personally, I can say it was from more of a racial aspect, but nonetheless, it is what it is. And I don't go back and say, oh my gosh, like, you guys, like, did me dirty. I look back and go, you guys actually did me the biggest favor in my life. Like, you guys must be choking to see me, on TV now. they did me the biggest favor at that time, because I remember when I was at Paper Chase, you know, like, I didn't mind the job. It was something that I was doing now. It was a little bit less hours, so, you know, I could flex myself around and really try and pursue whether I really wanted to do the cakes or not, and kind of thing. But I was getting worn down with, like, you know, people, I can always understand when people are being very supportive by saying, oh, you're talented. And I would hear that all the time from people in the building. It'd be like, oh, you're so talented. Why are you working this job? You're like, you're wasting away here. And I'd hate those kind. I actually despise those comments, because it was like, yes, I understand that I'm talented. And yes, I understand that I'm producing great, like, cupcakes and cakes and work. But the other aspect is, it's such a hard industry to break into. It's like it's kind of, at that point, it was kind of like, there is a cake industry, but how do you even break into a cake? How do you break into an industry which isn't really formed, and there's no kind of, there is no kind of, okay, this is, like, you have to enter this arena. It's kind of like everybody's doing their own thing, but there are kind of, like, cake groups, but it's, at the same time, it's just like, there's no route for success in,
there's no clear path through, is there? Yeah,
it's like, it's not like you can go to college and study this course and study that course and come out and know that you're going to work for this top bakery. It's kind of like, you just do your own thing and end up with a bakery or not, you know, kind of thing.
I guess it's the nature of lots of women picking up on it, that they don't, you know, it's sort of like, they're all side hustles that they make into a business. Yeah. So there's nothing, like you say, there's no proper college, there's no education, there's no real business education into it.
And so, you know, like I was just frustrated at the desk. And one day, like my manager was saying that I was doing, the manager at the time, she was actually a stand-in manager. She was actually a temp manager, which made me being fired by a temp manager even worse. So it was kind of like she said I'd done all of these things, of which she was like, she accused me of listening to like Radio 1 Extra during like work hours. And I was just like, firstly, that time I was on break, so I wouldn't listen to that. And usually I usually have a radio station that is just very monotone, where I'm not actually listening. Yeah. It's just background music, because I know how sometimes it can get fussy. And for her to pick Radio 1 Extra because they picked R&B, I was like, R&B, I'm black and hip hop. It's not really, I don't like that kind. So I felt slightly attacked in that, but I was just like, whatever. So one day I was venting out my frustrations on their email, and I called her a fire-breathing dragon over email.
Oh dear.
Over email. They obviously intercepted this email, and apparently the lady was in floods of tears over fire-breathing dragon. And somebody was just like, I remember someone in the office was saying, that's not bad, I thought you called her an effing blinding like bitch. And I was just like, never, not over email. No, maybe like verbally to somebody, but no, it was just fire-breathing dragon. I mean, when I told my mom the story, she was in fits of laughter, but she was like, everybody takes things differently. And she was like, well, you shouldn't have been using that email to say that anyway. And I was like, yeah, fair play. Anyway, so they let me go, and it was like such a sad day, like honestly. But it was like the saddest day, but the most I remember spending kind of like a week just in tears and going, oh my gosh, my career is over. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. How am I going to get another job? Because you just felt like you've just been given this ugly, like this ugly mark, and said like, nobody's actually the biggest rejection of your life. But anyway, moving on from that, after a week of like wallowing in self-pity, I remember going to the job center, and I remember sitting in front of this one of the key workers or coordinators there, and he was just like to me, oh well, do you, you know, you need to get some qualifications, you need to do this, you can't really sit at home. I said to him, have you even looked at my CV? I was like, look, I've got degrees out here, I've got like I'm very well qualified. And he just played it off like I was like this like somebody who was uneducated, unqualified and stuff. And I was just like, no, we can't be coming back to this job center. No. And I remember just going to look at my bank account. And by this time I'd done a couple of like, I'd done fairly quite a lot of jobs, and I was still kind of getting orders coming through, which was absolutely fine. And I was, and that was the main thing. And that was the one thing that kept me going, that even through my time of like despair, I still had cake orders that were coming in, and I had to concentrate on. And so I remember just sitting down, and I remember I'd also applied for a job at Vogue, which was kind of like my dream job, to be a PA to one of the editors. And I was just, and I remember like, I was looking forward to the interview, but at the same time I was just like, do I want to go back into an office? Like what do I actually want? Yeah. And I remember asking myself that question. I asked my heart, what does it want? And it said to me that I wanted to become a baker now. And I was like, okay, we want to bake. And do I want the job at Vogue? I was like, no, I don't want the job at Vogue, because it keeps me in the office. It keeps me in an office. It keeps me at a desk. Where I don't want to be, and I'm always going to be fighting for my time with somebody, and that's what I don't want. And I remember making the decision and saying, okay, I don't want the job at Vogue, but what I do want is a part-time job. I want a part-time job that's going to pay me sufficient funds and give me good money, so I can pursue my cake desire. And kid you not, I found a part-time job with a tech company a week later. And I got the job there for just being honest. I remember my manager at the time interviewing me and asking me like, yo, so this is a part-time job. You only work in the afternoons from 1 till like 5:30. You know, we pay for your lunches, but, you know, you need to have something else to do. Like, this is not a career-binding job. And I was like, yeah, don't worry, I'm going to be a superstar baker, and I like to bake cakes. And then we ended up having like an hour conversation about baking. and the kind of cakes that I make. And then it gave me the job off the fact that I said to him, like, look, I don't know how long I'm going to be with your company. I'll probably be with you for 2 years, maybe 2.5 years, but I trust and believe in those 2 years I'll give you the best kind of office management service that you'll ever ever need. And he gave me the job based off the fact I was just being honest and we had good connection. And I worked for this tech company called Pivotal for literally 2.5 years. And
wow. So it was almost like it was all meant to be. In the end, it was it fell into the right place.
Yeah, so literally, like, my career has, like, literally fallen into right. I've been at the right place at the right time.
Yeah. And then, thing is, I mean, I know a lot of people go on about luck, but you do have to make your own luck in a certain way. You know, had you not chosen to not go to Vogue,
yes,
you know, you made that choice to pull out of that kind of side of it.
Yeah, I definitely believe that, like, I spoke it into the universe and my heart was aligned. I was very aligned with what my heart wanted. I didn't lie to myself. It was never a lie that I wanted to not work full time. I literally asked the universe and the universe provided me because I was being so honest and that was the direction. Yeah. That's how I see it and believe in it. And so when I was at Pivotal, it's like, pretty much it was like a blueprint of Diesel, which it was like being surrounded with the same kind of family environment, which I completely missed when I left Diesel, because Diesel was like a family that literally, I really kind of owe Diesel a lot to the person that I am, because I do feel like they had such a huge effect on the way I work, the caliber of, like the way I see my business and how I just don't see it as in, I don't look at it as just wedding cakes or birthday cakes, or I literally look at my life as a lifestyle. Before I even started working for Diesel, I remember Diesel was my favorite brand. And even my mom said to me, like, I remember, like, when I was doing fashion, she would be like, I really would want you to work for Diesel because I love their denim. And I was like, yeah, I want to work for Diesel. And, you know, working, it was kind of just like everything that I literally had asked for back in the day. I was like, oh my gosh, I remember saying I wanted to work for Diesel. I'm working for Diesel. My mom said she always wanted Diesel jeans. Now she's got so many Diesel jeans, you know what I mean? And working for Pivotal was like I said, it was like the blueprint of working for Diesel again. And everybody really knew that, like, Nastasia loves doing her cakes. Like, I was very, even still to this day, I have people from Diesel, I have people from Pivotal that still order cakes from me.
That's wonderful.
And because it was that kind of thing that if anybody wanted a cake in the office or we were having somebody's birthday in the office, people would be like, yeah, let's just get Nastasia to do it. They would ask me to do event cake, like, still do birthday cakes for events that they were having in the office. So it was amazing to work for a company. And the only reason why I left Pivotal is, once again, so my baking was getting out of hand for my grandma's kitchen. And she was like, you need to go and find somewhere else to bake, like, literally. And then I was having a conversation with my friend and she was like, you know, what do you want to do next with the sugar plum, because what do you want? And I was like, I think I need a space to bake. And she was like, oh, I know somewhere. And that's where the crypt kind of come in. And then
the crypt, that just, to me, I mean, I used to have a bakery, but it was in a basement. A crypt just sounds amazing.
It was, people was just like, are you not scared, Nastasia? It's a crypt, because it was a crypt. It was. Yeah. They were like, literally, it was in a church, but in the basement of the church, but it was a crypt before. And people are like, are you not afraid of being in a crypt? And I was like, sometimes you don't even think about it. I was just like, you know what? My God has got my spirit, because let me tell you, usually if you tell me I'm working somewhere like a crypt or something like that, I'll be scared out of my wits. But let me tell you, God has got my spirit. He's just holding my heart, because I would spend like evenings in there. Sometimes I'd work overnight and people would be like, are you not scared? And I'm like, scared of what?
I suppose when you're so into it, you're not thinking about you know you're thinking about your business, you're thinking about the cake. The fact that you're in a crypt probably means nothing, quite frankly.
And perfect for cake making, because is it cooler in there?
Yeah, it was cooler, but it was cooler, but in the summertime it was horrendous. So I got the place at the crypt, and that came once again at the right time. And I remember when I got that, it was like, I mean, I initially just wanted to bake cakes, but then it turned into running a full-blown cafe with food. And I had to make the decision of, do I stay at Pivotal or do I leave Pivotal? And it was kind of difficult because I kind of took a month sabbatical off of Pivotal to just to see if it would work. And it did work. And I was just like, look, and then I took that leap of faith again. I was like, well, God, you know what? I sat down and I said, had a conversation with God. I said, God, like, you know what you're going to do, because I really want to try at this thing. And I went back to the thoughts of what Zoe told me from when I was leaving Diesel. Natasha, what's the worst thing that could happen?
Yeah.
If it doesn't work out, you can always come back to the corporate world, right? Yeah. It's not, it really, life is what you make it. And you're not going to fail, because you're entering arenas where people would never dare to, because they're too scared. So I took the leap of faith. My mum thought I was crazy once again. And I was like, well, let's try. And so, like, left Pivotal in March of, I think it was 2015. I left Pivotal. Wow. And so once again, I just want to reiterate, at this point, I'm still not taking baking seriously. So even though all of these things are happening, you have to understand that I still have a burning passion to return to fashion, or do, like, I'm just kind of like, I'm just trying. Like, I'm literally just trying.
Right.
So I get the crypt, and like, it's by this time we've been at the crypt for about, like, it was, I think it was like in July. Yes. So end of July, beginning of August. So I've been at the crypt, what is it, March, April, May, June, July. So literally coming up to about 6 months being in the crypt. And then I get a call from a lady from a production company in association with Channel 4. And I'm in I'm in this cafe with my sister, and she's just like talking. She's like, yeah, I'm calling from Channel 4, and we're doing this new show on Channel 4 called Extreme Cake Makers. And I'm just like, I'm in, like, I've got her on loudspeaker, and I've gone to my sister, Google this production company because I think it's fake, like, people are just calling
you think
me
you're being
and then, like, I'm just like, this is a lie, how can, like, a production company call little me, like, I'm just at this point, I'm just like really, like, Channel 4? I've just, like, to my sister, I ain't even a serious baker, I'm just trying. And she's just like, well, obviously someone thinks you're serious. And I'm just like, okay, this is like, and I'm just like, and she's talking, and she's like, this new show, and we really want to cast you in it, and would you be up for a casting call? And I'm just like, firstly, are you actually from Channel, like, are you actually from, is this actually for Channel 4? And she laughed, and she was like, yeah, yes, it's from Channel 4. And then I said to her, how did you find me? And she was like, oh, okay, so we were directed to your Instagram. And the first thing she said, but before we even agree to a casting call, are those actually real cakes? And I was like, well, yeah, what else could they be? And then she was just like, well, no, because, you know, like, we've spoken to a lot of bakers and they work with dummies. And I was like, no. Indulgent Sugar Plum, we don't do that. This is real cake out here. That's real cake, 100% cake. You can call my customers and ask them. And she was like, okay, this is phenomenal. So I literally get casted into Channel 4, this Channel 4 show, like 6 months after I get a cafe, basically. Wow. And it's kind of like like, you couldn't write, I couldn't have written a script for you. Because, like, that was 2015, and we did Extreme Cake Makers for 4 seasons for just about nearly 3.5 years. That brings us up to like end of 20, that brings us up to beginning of 2019, literally. And This is how I got here. Like, people think, like, okay, like, I went to some mad school, or I went to this school that taught me how to do this. That's my story. This is how I got here.
That's it for part one. Join us for part two in a couple of days, when Nastasia will be speaking about her design process, her aesthetic, how to deal with customer expectations, and how to deliver her massively tall cakes. If you've enjoyed listening to today's podcast, please like, share, review, so other cake makers can get to hear from us. If you would like to know about all the show notes, head over to daisycakecompany.co.uk, press podcast, where all the links will be. See you next time.